A new biography sheds light on the woman behind one of history's most memorable art heists. Rose Dugdale was born an aristocrat in England. In her early 30s, she joined the Irish Republican Army. As an IRA member in 1974, she took part in an unsuccessful air raid bombing, then became the first woman to lead a major art theft. That robbery included works worth millions by artists including Goya, Rubens, and Vermeer. A Boston man familiar with art theft tells Dugdale's story in the new book titled The Woman Who Stole Vermeer. The author, Anthony Amore, is the director of security and chief investigator at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum in Boston, who's still searching for the items stolen in the infamous art heist at the Gardner in 1990. We spoke with Amore about Rose Dugdale's unlikely path from heiress to art thief.
She grew up in an idyllic setting. She was a debutante, part of the last debutante class before the Queen. Went on to Oxford, went to Mount Holyoke, enjoyed the United States. In 1968, had a transformative experience when she went to Cuba at the invitation of Fidel Castro. And when she came back to the United Kingdom, she started taking on the cause of Irish republicanism. She took part in a aerial bombing assault on a constabulary in a town called Strabane, a very troubled town in Northern Ireland. She would have killed hundreds of people with the bombs that she constructed along with her boyfriend, a rogue IRA soldier.
We should point out that it was a failed aerial bombing because the bombs, which were dropped from a helicopter that they hijacked, did not go off.
That's true. And in the book, you see that the commanding police officers told the press that they watched the attack with amusement. But the fact is, they were not amused at all. This was an attempted murder of probably hundreds of officers. And that this really put Rose Dugdale on their radar screen. Even though she had already become an international name for an art theft she did at her parents' home a few years earlier.
Well, let's talk about that a little bit. It was an art heist and a silver heist, as you say, in her own family's estate. Tell us about it.
Well, her family had been away for a weekend, and she and her boyfriend, who had been supported by her rich parents to this date, had spent all their money, and they turned to the source they always went to for money. They robbed the parents' estate of paintings and silver. And they weren't great criminals. The police were instantly turned on to them because they left all sorts of evidence that it was them, including the fact that the only valuable that wasn't stolen was a precious gift Rose had given her mother. And the only room that wasn't touched was Rose's bedroom.
She was caught and convicted, but she was not jailed.
Yeah, and that was a turning point in her life, too, because her boyfriend was jailed. And in an epic misjudgment, the judge who handed down her sentence found her guilty, but gave her a suspended sentence, let her free, saying she was unlikely to ever commit a crime again, which, as history showed, was a really poor evaluation of what was to come for Rose Dugdale.
All right, so let's bring ourselves to April 1974. Dugdale and three other members of the IRA raid an estate in Ireland, the Rusborough House. They pistol whip its elderly owner and his wife and steal 19 paintings by old masters. It was brutal and an act of political extortion, Anthony.
And Rose masterminded this crime, and her intent was to get these paintings and then try to ransom them in return for the movement of the Price Sisters, the first females in the IRA to pull off a bombing in Great Britain from a prison in England to a jail in Northern Ireland. So her goal was political, which makes her unique. And the key is only Rose, amongst the four thieves that were in the house, would know which paintings to take. The ability to pick out a Vermeer when there are only 36 known Vermeers point to a refined upbringing that Rose Dugdale had.
So it was only weeks after the Rusborough House robbery that the paintings were recovered after an intense hunt for them, and Rose was arrested. She was defiant, as I read in your book, through her detainment and at her trial, and continued to be outspoken in her opposition to British rule in Northern Ireland, and she served 6 years in prison.
She did, and the 6 years in prison could warrant a book on their own, and the story of how her boyfriend and the father of her child tried to free her from prison is a well-known tale in Ireland. And in fact, some people in Ireland only know Rose for that story. So it just shows that from the beginning of her life to the end of her criminal career is just a remarkable journey. And it leaves the reader with the true question about whether a person is a terrorist or a freedom fighter.
So, Anthony, I have to ask to wrap up, does the recovery of most of those paintings give you hope that someday perhaps the paintings that were stolen from the Gardner Museum will also be recovered and be returned to their place at the museum?
In a way, it does give me hope. Masterpieces, these highly recognizable sorts of works, are just like the paintings that were stolen from the Gardner there. Those type of paintings have a much higher recovery rate than others. Secondly, it fits into a trend, and that trend is art that is stolen of this caliber is either recovered right away, as in the Dugdale case, or a generation or so after, as I believe it will be in the Gardner case. So these are the types of things that we use to motivate us, myself and the FBI, in our continued hunt for the Gardner art.
Anthony Amore, Director of Security and Chief Investigator at the Isabella Stewart Gardner Museum and author of the new book titled The Woman Who Stole Vermeer. Thanks for coming on this morning. We appreciate it. It's a good read. Good luck with the book.
Thank you, Bob.